Please be seated. You know, when the circumstances of life are a little bit overwhelming, the best thing that can happen to us is to be overcome by His presence. It is good to come into the presence of the Lord. There are lots and lots and lots of things happening to families in the church, so please be in prayer for them. Kelly, Charlie, and their family, they're going through it with family members and probably off. Are you leaving now, guys? And they got hospital stuff going on. There's a young girl in our church named Star. Some of you know Star. She's been having seizures, and she's in the ICU right now. They got a grandbaby in the ICU, and people getting new hips. You know, you come to Wesley, you get a new hip, it seems. John, is John Caldwell still here? You here, John? Did he go to the hospital? There he is. John's wife had a heart attack, but she woke up, and, you know, and we're praying that, you know, stuff happens. That's part of being alive. But it's good to be together and be overwhelmed by God in the midst of that, right? Isn't it? Well, I want to celebrate a couple things with you before I bring the message to you. We had a tremendous, like, mini leadership meeting yesterday for the church, envisioning the future, beginning to strategize and talk about where God might want to take us. because that's the world we live in. Our world doesn't flock to that. And so look at the world as it flocks to Jesus, as it runs to John the Baptist in that message. John said to the crowds, this is verse 7, coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And the poor people flocked to Jesus. Why? Because they knew their life needed change. They knew it. You didn't have to convince them. They knew life needed to change. The middle class and upper class people, what do? Well, who's this guy out here in the wilderness? And they don't need change. They got it. They're just perfectly okay the way they are. But the poor flock to Jesus. And they say, okay, then what do? And here the answer, three different kinds of people. Answer is basically the same. Listen to this. "So what do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same." Luke's very interested in poor people. And so if you're a poor person and you've got two loaves of bread for your family, what you really should do is give one of those loaves away. What does it take for a man to become that? You see, Mary, in her song, she sang this wonderful song that said, Jesus is going to come and he's going to make the proud humble. And what does it take for a man or a woman, for you or for me, to begin to believe that the world is not here for my pleasure? That I'm not here to get all of the fun out of life that I'm supposed to get. What does it take for a human soul to begin to believe that other people are more important than myself? That I don't receive things just because I'm a good person. I receive things so that I can give them away. What does it take for a man or woman to make that huge transition from being proud and selfish to being humble and other-minded? It takes Jesus. And that begins with a recognition of this. I am a sinner who needs a Savior. So are you, and so is everybody you've ever met. Your own children, yes. They need help. They need a Savior. Look at the second person. Second person is a tax collector. Tax collector also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? And Jesus says to them, well, don't collect any more than you're required to. See, a tax collector, what they could do, there were laws. I mean, the Roman laws. Tax collectors represented Rome. And if you were the tax collector in a certain region, you had a quota. It's just like, you know, sales. There's so much. You got to do it. At the end of the month, this much money goes to Rome. And so what would they do? They would come to Jim's door. And they know that Jim has money, right? A lot of money. Jim's got a lot of, you're wealthy, right? Jim's the man. So what are they going to do when they knock on Jim's door? They're going to collect a lot of money from Jim, right? Now, they know Connie's poor as poor can be. Yeah, and I got at least one of them right. And when they come to Connie's door, what are they going to do? They're going to collect not only what's required of them, they're going to collect more. Why? Why do they collect more? Because every penny I collect beyond what I have to pay to Rome is mine. I get to keep it. You get this? And so not only am I going to collect a legal tax, I'm going to collect a little extra for me. And what does John the Baptist tell the tax collector? You cannot think like a selfish human being. Cannot think that everyone in your town exists to make you wealthy. You have to be transformed. You have to be changed. Stop collecting more than is only necessary. Don't collect beyond what's absolutely minimally necessary and trust God for the rest. How does a man make the transition from the world is my oyster, let me take as much as I can, to I am here to be your servant. Help me to do what's best for you. You can't make that transition without Jesus. John's getting the way ready. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And Jesus is going to enter into the life of the poor and the tax collectors. And the last one that we meet is a soldier. Listen to this. And the soldiers come to Jesus. And they say, then some soldiers come to John. And they say, and what should we do? As if the answer is going to be any different. The answer is not any different. The answer is the same for all of us. Listen to what he tells them. He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. You know, if I were a Roman soldier walking along the road, I had the legal right to make you carry my backpack. I could make you, by law, carry my backpack. And I could make you carry it a certain distance. I could make you carry it, it says, about a mile. And then you were allowed to put it down. And if you didn't carry my back, if you said no, I could kill you right on the spot. That's the law. That was the law. And Jesus says, or John says to them, listen, you got to make a transition in life. You got to get ready for Jesus. And this getting ready for Jesus requires that you start to believe that you're not the most important person in your life. You got to start believing this. You got to believe that other human beings are valuable. That's getting ready for Jesus. And how do you do that? How do you come to the point where you actually believe other people have value? Ready? You recognize that you're a snake. You got to recognize it. You got to recognize your own sin. It is one of the greatest obstacles we face in our society today. We all want to think we're okay the way we are. I'm okay and you're okay. I read the book. Well, guess what? I'm not. I need help. I cannot be this person who lives a life filled with Christ and actually believes other people are important. I can't live that until I recognize I need help. I need some help doing this because I just can't do it. And so here's the good news. When we pray and we fast, how do you pray? John, you're going through hard times, right? We all go through hard times, don't we? We all go through hard times. Stuff happens. So how do we pray? You know what our tendency is? On Fridays, we're going to pray, oh, God, help me with this and help me with that and help so-and-so get well and help so-and-so and help this. Isn't that how we pray? I'm going to challenge you to think about something, okay? When we pray during this 100 days, I would like for you to pray, oh, God, help me see in me what needs to be changed. Help me to see what needs to be changed in me. And God will be faithful. You know, but you gotta hear this. When you pray like that, and God's faithful, and he reveals that there's sin in your life, well, then you got to do something about it. Because otherwise, that's just, I call it stupid knowledge. It actually hurts you. Now, for you to be wise, and God reveals that there's transforming things that need to happen in your life, well, then you got to go do something about it. You really have to make amends and do things about that. And the good news is, and I've experienced this in my life over and over again, maybe it's because God has so much material, I'm not sure, you know, but there's a lot to be revealed. And I've been working on this a long time, and I'm still doing it. I got a long way to go, and it's not going to stop. So he's always faithful to me. You guys know that because I reveal it to you. When it's revealed to me, then I reveal it to you. And I say, here's where it is. Here's where we're at in this journey called life. And how many of you agree? I got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. I mean, I'm a sinner. That never ends. That doesn't stop. I make thought mistakes, attitude mistakes. I wake up grouchy. I did today. Woke up grouchy. But God, he stopped me. He revealed it. And that's the goodness of knowing God through Jesus Christ. And then you got to go do something about it. And so while we're fasting and praying for these next 100 days, I want you to change your prayer life. Let's not stop our prayers with heal Diane. That should be we should pray that. Be with his wife. Let's not stop there, though. Reveal in me what needs to be seen. Help me see this. And then give me the strength and the power to become what you want me to be. That is a powerful prayer. And I will tell you, God will be faithful. He really will. He will reveal it to you. And then you got to do something about it. And so for the next 100 days, you pray for me. Here's what I'm after for me. You pray for the leaders of this church. We talked yesterday about this. Here's what we want. We just want to do what God wants us to do. That's it. We want it to be simple. We want it to be clear. We want it to be exciting. We want it to be invigorating. We just want to get ourselves out of the way and do what God wants us to do. So here's your prayer for me. Lord, help Ernie see Ernie. Help me see me. I want it. I desire it. And I hope you do too. God will be faithful, and he will make us strong, and he will make you strong as you see and learn and grow. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We give you thanks for a man like John the Baptist who spent his whole life preparing the way for Jesus, who just didn't hesitate, just looked out at people and said, you all need transformation in the midst of your life, and we still need it. So bless and keep us, God. Help us to be changed into your likeness that we might actually truly believe other people have value and are important in your kingdom. All of your children matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God's blessing on you. Let's continue and close our worship with the giving and receiving of our gifts, okay?